Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Why did Mom and Dad write their family rules on the window? Because they wanted to make sure their rules were very clear. I know. Well, today begins a new series on setting rules and standards in your home or on your window. Whatever the case, Dave and Bethley have got some great ideas for you. So let's join them right now.
Well, let's get started today. Ready
to jump in? Talking about rules and standards.
Let's talk about setting rules and standards in our homes. And we'll take these next 2 weeks to really break it down into three areas. We want to talk to you about the danger.
Yes.
There's a danger when it comes to rules and standards. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about the defense, because we really believe in them. We think that it's important that every family be pursuing rules and standards in their own home.
At least have some. Yes.
And then we will also talk about the development. And really, to be honest with you, that'll be a little bit on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to rules and standards, every family is different.
Right.
And every couple is different.
Right.
And what's important to some are not as important to others.
True.
But we're just going to talk through some areas about how we did it and how we are doing it.
Yes.
And I'll be a little vulnerable there. And also, I hope help you to think.
And how development is an ongoing thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yes. And we're not experts at this, but we're working on it.
Right.
And our kids love us for working on it.
Constant.
Absolutely.
Reevaluation.
So let's get started. Let's talk. Let's just jump right in and begin with the danger that we find in rules and standards. And I listed two of them.
Okay.
And so let's start with the first one there. The first danger in rules and standards
would be to have no rules and standards.
I suppose that's a little extreme because I would think everybody has at least something.
Right. There's some things that you absolutely will not do, and there are some things that you do because you base your life on the Word of God.
That's true. Right. And so in light of that, though, what we find is that in our busy culture, the reason I threw this one in there is that our busy culture, in the fact that the culture really is so anti-Christian, anti-Bible now.
True.
It is very easy to allow rules and standards to kind of slide.
Right.
To where they're not that important to us, they're not that big of a deal.
Right.
They're not an emphasis to us anymore.
Right. Or we don't want our children to be the odd ones.
Sure.
In the youth group or in the school or whatever.
And so, when especially if you have a Christian school, there's things that become a norm. And so in your own home, it's hard to go against that because then you feel badly for your children.
Right.
So this is a danger.
Right.
And the fact of having no rules and standards and overlooking them, because what we believe is that a Christian home must include rules and standards.
Yes.
And we're going to defend that before we end today. Expectations and limits are a good thing.
Yes, they are.
They always are. I was reading just a few days ago. I know I've mentioned on our podcast here that I often will look at the Art of Manliness podcast. Mm-hmm. And it always fascinates me. They are not exactly where
it's
we are.
It's a blog and podcast. Is that correct?
It is a blog and a podcast.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever listened to the podcast maybe
so
more than once or twice.
So you just follow the blog. Okay.
But I get the email, especially every Sunday morning. They write a brief email. And they're always unique. One of them recently was about the importance of the children's table. Mm-hmm. And that one kind of hit home with me because when I was a boy, we would go to my grandparents almost every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And there was a large family. There'd be a ton of people there.
Right.
But the kids always had their own table. We never sat with the adults. Mm-hmm. And today that's just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And today, the kids sit at the table. And even when we go out to eat with people, the kids often will talk as much as the adults.
Right.
And sometimes the conversation is kid-centric in the sense of, hey, tell what you're doing and tell them about your class and tell them about your grades and tell them about your sports.
Which is not wrong.
It was interesting to me that Art of Manliness made the case and said, actually, it's good for our children to be with their peers. Mm-hmm. And it's good for adults to have adult conversation that is not centered necessarily on your children.
Right.
And one of the points they were making was that we've just forgotten how to have conversations.
True.
And there is a lot of truth to that because of distractions of our phones and so forth. But one of their recent articles was called The Liberation of Submission. Mm. And I thought that's kind of an interesting title because submission automatically is kind of a negative in our society.
And you don't think of it as being liberating.
Yeah, we're going to submit to the government or we're going to submit to our church or whatever.
Right.
And what they said was that because we exist in an age of limitless optionality, that was a statement that began their article. And they talked about how that in our day, there are just very few social mores, is the word they used, to guide our behavior, to check our behavior. There's, you know, in the when we were younger, there were cultural expectations that would guide your behavior.
Right.
This was not acceptable.
True.
And I remember as a little boy in the neighborhood, if you violated what was culturally acceptable, somebody would call your parents and tell on you and you'd get a spanking.
Right.
And
right.
Of course, now today that would be like, how dare you question my children?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. How dare yes. you accuse my kids?
Culturally, it is more acceptable to, it is more acceptable to do your own thing.
Absolutely.
Whatever. And you're applauded if you snub your nose at rules and standards, unless, of course, they go against pandemic mandates.
Let's not go there.
Oh, okay.
Let's
all right.
Not go
here we go.
There. But here's where they kind of went with that article. They said that when too many choices abound, meaning you do whatever you want to do, then no choices abound. Because it doesn't matter. And the human will, this was a line out of their blog, the human will, no matter how strong, doesn't have the capacity to both engineer and superintend all of life's details. It needs positions of command, which I thought was just very interesting. It needs areas where you don't have to make the decision. It's
right.
already made for you, is
yes.
what they were saying. And then they applied it in some unique areas. Like one of the things they said was that if we submit to a fitness program, then we tend to work out harder than if we just randomly wander around a gym
Very
trying
true.
To decide what to do.
Very true.
And that helped make a connection in my mind. I see mm-hmm. what they're trying to say here.
Right.
When you submit to the tradition of a craft, you're right. learning a trade or a craft, you are actually more creative with it.
Right.
Than if you just do whatever.
It becomes more.
Nobody trains you.
Part of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they even made an argument that when we submit to a set of sacred commandments, is how they said it, that we gain a path that has a narrowness that saves you from pitfalls, and then it has compelling reasons
right.
that helps you to live your life.
Yes.
And so I just thought it was a reminder that here are people that obviously aren't where we are necessarily in our position spiritually.
True.
And yet they see the fact that there's a danger in right. no rules and standards.
Absolutely.
And so I thought that was a good way to begin here, just to remind us that we're not the only ones that believe this.
Yes. And also just reinforcing that it is, especially with your children, a good idea to give them what we often will call in our podcast, you've probably heard it, fences, mm-hmm. guideposts mm-hmm. for them, and here specifically rules and standards
yeah.
that just don't give them a choice.
Sure.
You don't have a choice about this.
Yeah, and that helps our children
move
too.
Move along according to the word of God.
Yeah, when we'd go to camps, our kids would have limits on what numbers they could have and what social media they were involved in.
Right.
And I noticed that our boys were okay with it, but it was easy for them to be able to say, well, my mom and dad don't permit that.
So you're talking about their phone usage
yeah.
when they would
and,
go to
and
camp
so
and people
would ask for
their number.
It took the pressure off of our children
yes.
to have
okay.
to decide what's right and wrong because
right.
it was already mm-hmm. decided.
Right.
And then in a sense, they could blame it on us.
Absolutely.
And therefore, then they weren't carrying that burden of, oh my goodness, you're so weird. No, it was
right.
your parents are weird.
True.
Which we're okay with that. We're older and we can handle that.
Yes.
A lot
uh-huh.
more easily than, say, our children can.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the danger in no rules and no standards.
Right.
But there is also another ditch on the other side of that.
Yes.
And I call it over the top rules and standards.
So we go from no rules of standards and swinging the pendulum all the way to, oh, you are way over the top with your rules and standards.
I suppose that for most people in our culture, the biggest danger is the first one.
Yes.
Although in the church, which is where we do our work,
yes,
we tend to see more of the over the top.
Yes.
I
would say we see both.
Yeah, that's true. So
we
do so many different ministries and
yes,
and we do see both. So my point being here about over the top rules and standards is that sometimes we can be so strict
mm-hmm.
that we make everything a biblical law.
Right.
And when we make everything a biblical law, then our children are confused because there are any number of standards you can have in a home that are not biblical law.
Right. They would be your preference mm-hmm. and not actually, and you may even base them on a Bible verse.
Or a biblical principle.
A biblical mm-hmm. principle, but it would actually be preference instead of this is a standard or a commandment
yeah.
from the Bible.
And we'll talk about this next week a little more fully, but
right.
One of the things that I think has really helped our children is when we've differentiated.
Yes.
We do this because this is biblical. It's non-negotiable.
Right.
This is what the Bible says. This is the way it will always be.
Right.
But then there would be many standards in our family, many rules in our home that we would say to the kids, you know what? I don't know that this violates the Bible. I don't know that this is, you know, that God's like looking down from heaven going, you are breaking my law. Mm-hmm. But this is important to me.
Right.
Maybe just because of the way I was raised.
This is our preference.
So I was raised that way. So help me. I think it'll help you.
Right. And we don't base all of our preferences on how we were raised.
No, that's true. But it's just an option to say there.
Yes.
That there's a danger when we imply that our rules and standards are God's rules and standards when they're not.
Right.
Because then we're in danger of adding to the Word of God.
That's true.
And we don't want to be guilty of saying, this is what God says, when it's what I'm saying.
True.
And what you're saying as a mom and dad is always valid. Mm-hmm. And there's another danger in this over-the-top rules and standards. And that's the danger that we can bind our children's conscience in an area where they don't necessarily have to be bound.
True.
And the Bible's very big on conscience because conscience is important. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago when I would do some work with the Pensacola Christian College, mm-hmm. I remember the leadership of the college one day asked me to preach on certain topics in chapel with this statement. They said, one of the things we hope that it will do is build a conscience in the heart of our students about this subject.
Mm. But it was a biblical command.
It was a biblical command.
Yes.
But what we found out was that in preaching it and teaching it, and if you're biblical and you're clear and you're kind,
yes,
and you're gracious and you're reasonable and
yes,
you're logical and all of those combined together, mm-hmm, they do build a conscience in our hearts so that we tend to think so that when an option comes up that's a right or wrong option,
right,
our conscience helps us to think, ooh, this is the right way.
Absolutely.
And even if I do wrong, I do wrong knowing that I'm doing wrong.
Right.
I'm violating
right
it. Mm-hmm. And so even though this over-the-top rules and standards is a danger, we never want to bind our children's conscience as an area where it doesn't need to be, because that limits their thinking. We don't want our kids just to obey. Now, when they're younger, if your children are small, you don't need to debate with them. Determine what's right and wrong. If you have a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old, mm-hmm, this is what's expected. This is what you do. And if you don't, hear the ramifications for breaking them.
Right. And there's a podcast for that.
There is. And I've heard that somewhere. Do you know which one that is?
I'll have to look up the episodes.
Look up that one. I'm sure that was a great one. But as your children start getting older, they start hitting junior high and high school.
Yes.
Then one of the things that's important for you to help them with is to think.
Right. And even then, it would not be debate.
Right.
We don't debate with our children. We discuss with our children.
Sure.
Well, you've been listening to Keeping It Young as Dave and Bethley began their new series on setting rules and standards in your home. Tune in next time for the continuation of this series. This is Michael Barnett. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.